the English Language for Ofcom and Ofcom podcast that nobody asked for. My name is David, and that is Lord Sam.
Hi, I'm pretending to be a football journalist today.
You are a football journalist. I mean, you don't get paid.
If anyone out there would like to sponsor Sam Beaton, rates are very competitive, samgbeaton@gmail.com.
That is a pathetic little plug, but you know,
I believe that's must. What I believe in football. That's what they call a come and get me.
It is a classic come and get me plea, and we're very happy to announce that here there is a third voice will be joining us today. It's your boy Jirka Floro, goalkeeper for FC Zborovka Brno.
Hi, thank you for the invitation, and I'm pretty excited.
That's the first time we've had somebody genuinely excited to be on this show. So that's, yeah, good stuff. So we're going to be talking to Jirka about a number of different things. We've got the regulars, we've got Hot or Not, Beer in the Podcast. Anything else that you want to throw in? Or?
I don't think so. I think we're just going to spend most of the time
chatting.
Talking to Jirka about everything, and because this is probably the only chance that we'll get to speak to a regular member of Zborovka's first team. So
yes. We're going to do a little bit of that after this. So, like I said, we are very honoured and no little pleased to have an actual footballing human on the podcast. There he is. You can't see it, but I'm pointing at him across the table.
And I'm waving.
Yes.
He's very well dressed, isn't he, David? Like, he's made an effort to come here.
His jeans, I'm going to say those jeans are purposely, stylishly ripped, whereas mine are just old. That's the difference.
There was some kind of texture on the knees, but I put it on the wash machine and it disappeared.
Okay, fair enough.
Hose
relict.
Used to be a little bit smaller, but gets bigger and bigger.
Good. Well, I thought it was just, you know, maybe you were keeping goal in those and they just gone through the, you know, gone through the knees maybe.
They're not paying him enough if these are like, exactly. If it's not deliberate.
You need to be able
like,
to buy better trousers. They need to pay you more, man. Come on.
He's got one pair of shoes and their football boots, so he's just all day he's just walking about in studs,
clacking about.
How I imagine it works in Lisheng. So
he does. We've got a bunch of questions. I was going to say from the listeners, but they're not from the listeners. They're just from us. Let's go back to your childhood. No, let's not go back that far. Are you actually from Brno, or are you from some village like nearby?
No, I am from the Brno.
Uh-huh. Like,
just I was on some loan in the past, football loan. Mm-hmm. I mean,
yeah.
But I'm from Brno. Mm-hmm. I'm Brno. I'm proud Brno member.
Yeah. When you were growing up, did you play any other sports, or was it always football?
It was always football. When I was a child until 6 years old, I was watching Formula One on TV.
Yes.
And Michael Schumacher was my favorite one.
We have much to talk about.
David is a Formula One guy.
But
the motorsport is very expensive.
Yes.
So, I started watching football. I love football from the 1 year, because when I learned to walking, I started to kick to the ball. So it's from my childhood, football, and you know, I started play football on some level from 6 years, and I started play football in Tehetatan Starý Skovec is the part of Brno.
Yeah.
So I studied there.
Mm-hmm. Was it always goalkeeping, or did you because sometimes goalkeepers are not always goalkeepers. They're first, something else, and then
first half of my career.
He's using inverted commas, yeah. But like he's a first team regular, so his career.
Yeah.
I used to play in the field, uh-huh. But I was, my shoes wasn't good fit,
right,
but
yeah.
I was only lazy to run. So one time we had a winter tournament,
mm-hmm.
And our goalkeeper just didn't come. So I stayed in the goal and
yeah. They said you're big and you don't run. Go in the goal.
Yeah. And I stayed there because I wasn't afraid of the ball.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kicking in the face.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I remained the goalkeeper position.
Alright, nice.
I think the logical question from there is sort of when did you either get noticed by like Zbrojovka and the youth setup?
Mm.
And you know, what age were you when you started joining there?
First interest was in my 10 years old, something like that. But I stayed in the Tatranstaralý Skvěs. I was playing there. I was happy there. And at the age of 12, I go on the trails in Zbrojovka, and coaches were happy with me. They were satisfied with my performances.
Mm-hmm.
So I stayed in Zbrojovka to these days.
Yeah.
Nice. Okay. You mentioned you were on loan at Blansko and from Krumlov.
Yeah.
I've stats, David.
You've got stats. Oh crikey! All right, go on.
No, the first was because the first it was if I remember correctly, so it was Blansko first in the MSFL.
Yeah, first loan was at Blansko. I think four season back.
Yeah,
I think
so.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. 7 clean sheets in 27.
Nice.
Played quite a lot for Blansko when he was down there.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, I guess, at that point, like obviously you'd been around like the Bečka and some of the other junior sort of team setups in Zbrojovka. Was that the time? Was that for you like the first idea of, let's say, like real competitive football in a league setup?
Yeah, I agree, because at this time, I was third or fourth choice on the goalkeeper post, so I went to loan in Blansko, and it was pretty decent challenge for me,
mm-hmm.
because it was first chance to show my skills in men's football, you know.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, we got already relegated in the season, but I have only great memories on the Blansko,
mm-hmm.
On the players, on the coach staff, on the fans.
Yeah,
it was great season, but with unfortunate end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, is that at Blansko? Is that when you first started playing with the squad number 59?
No, first time. I have the number 59. It was, I think, in 2012, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I was 15 years old or 14, and in kids, where goalkeepers numbers 1 and 17 or 20,
mm-hmm.
or something like that, and I didn't want number 1.
Mm-hmm.
But I doesn't like numbers like 20,
mm-hmm.
17. So I was thinking about some number option, and in the end, I choose for 59 because my mom used to play handball,
mm-hmm.
and she wore number 5, and my dad played football. And he used to wear number 9.
Okay.
So 59. But
isn't that nice?
That's
a nice tribute.
59, because when it's 95, it looks like date of birth, you know?
Yeah.
I picked it in the order 5 and 9.
That's clever, because if I was about 14, 15, and I got the choice of like 59 or like 69, I know what I would go for.
It's like, I don't want to say trademark or something like that, but players and those coach stuff, it's used to, I am wearing this number. Mm-hmm. Where I was long in Kroměříž, in Kroměříž was good because you can choose the number and they printed the number and the name. Mm-hmm. So they asked me which number I want. I say 59. So they asked me like you, why 59? So I told him why. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I am used to play with this number.
You see, this is a much nicer story of choosing a number than because again, I'm going to go Formula One now.
I'll zoom out because I have no idea.
Because now all of the drivers, they pick their number and they stick with it throughout their career.
But in the past, when you were, I think, world champion, drivers or mm-hmm. constructor.
Driver.
You have the number one.
Yeah.
And your teammate had number two.
Two, yeah.
And then three, four, five.
And then, I don't know how it worked out, but I think it was maybe age of two. I don't know exactly. But I listened to a Formula One podcast and they were talking to Nico Hülkenberg and they asked him why number 27, because in Formula One, 27 is quite a famous number. It was Gilles Villeneuve's number. And it was the number that Senna had when he won his first championship. And it's like, you know, it's a big deal. And it's like, so Nico, 27. Why 27? Any reason? Were you a fan of Villeneuve? Did you love Senna? No, no reason. oh, okay, great. What a good story. Thanks, Nico. No, I don't care.
I love that, like, this is not the first time on Zbarovcast that you've used your one Finnish guy impression either. Like every
He's German!
He sounded Finnish to me. You're Finnish and German, so the same.
Sorry. Nein, keine Ahnung warum. There you go. That's my German, my Nico Hülkenberg impression.
Yeah, ich spreche. So Blansko.
But I can run one sentence on it.
Oh, please.
But in motorbikes,
mm-hmm.
It's normal. You know, Valentino Rossi has 46 from the rookies to until now,
mm-hmm.
but it used to be different, like you say.
Yeah, I think it was F1's. I think they want to create brand for drivers, like in MotoGP.
Yeah,
there's the Rossi 46 brand is everywhere, and now the Hamilton 44 brand is everywhere, so it's just an attempt to make a trademark almost, I guess.
That is the only time I know that MotoGP is on in Brno or imminent, because I'm walking home from work and then I see like 10 guys with the hat that has Valentino Rossi number on it.
It's always a crazy. I might next summer when the MotoGP is on, this place is going on Airbnb and I'm going on holiday. So
wow.
I think so, maybe.
Do you like Hamilton or?
I don't have any interest in motorsports at all.
No?
He's the guy. David's the guy.
I do like Hamilton, but
the musical.
That's right, the political musical. I like Hamilton, but I'm a slight romantic when it comes to sports, so I see Hamilton in the same way that I see Schumacher. He is a machine. Like, he's a winning machine.
In great, great car.
Yeah. And there's no, like, he is one of the greatest drivers of all time, there is no doubt. But I kind of like a bit of personality and a bit of romance and a bit of fun to it. So this year just gone, I very much enjoyed the Carlos Sainz, Lando Norris dynamic. It's been really good fun.
Max Verstappen is very talented.
Yes, and again,
it's the next generation.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah, and again, he's got a bit of personality as well. Like, you know, he's kind of fun, and he's kind of a an arsehole as well. Like, you know, he's, yeah, it's fun, I think. So this is a football podcast. After this short break, we're going to be talking a little bit more about the old football. And we're back. Hello.
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 So I think we left off talking a little bit, well, when it
we
was
left off about talking about Formula One.
When it was a football podcast.
And Sam was looking annoyed, so we stopped it.
No, so. Like, so obviously we were introduced to Yuri last weekend, at the, or last Friday to be exact, at the pre-season friendly against FK Blansko. And like Ralph and Wingy were there. We met Wingy for the first time, which was cool. But talking to them and then, you know, them shouting over to you, it seems that you were quite popular with Blansko supporters during your time there. Like, did you get to know a lot of them during your loan?
I have memories from the season. They were on the every match.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter when match was home or away. Mm-hmm. So they were there and support us in good and bad times. So they have good chance, mm-hmm, too. Yeah, I like them. They are good men, and I wish Blansko all the best, because they are good club,
mm-hmm,
with good coaching staff, good players, and good fans.
Yeah,
they seem like a very kind of community based club, like very friendly.
It's based
nice,
like
accessible,
like family or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they actually have a very
In the season 16-17, I think, mm-hmm, we most of the matches we lost 1-0 or 2-1 by one goal, mm-hmm, but there weren't no situation. They are shouting on us something terrible. No,
mm-hmm,
in every moment they just encourage the team, and we feel good on the pitch. You know. We were down on the score, but we knew we tried our best on the pitch to make them happy.
Yeah, this is.
But they were happy after the defeat.
Yeah.
This
is not something that happens at Troyovka, I have to say. Like, it's a very
different.
It's very different. Like, we've talked about this on this podcast before, about whether Troyovka fans think they are a club that should be winning every game at this level, or like what the expectation is for fans, because I have always been quite confused as to whether it's a big club, because historically it's not that big. They only won one title, and it's a big city, but the club itself is not historically very big. And it's just interesting to see whenever there is some defeat that some fans think is a bad one, that there's so much anger and so much, like, you know, aggression, and it's very strange to me. Like, you know,
Yeah, but on the pitch, we tried our best. You know, there's no situation we go on the pitch and we said in our heads it doesn't matter.
Of course, yeah.
We just walk on the pitch and want to win a match. May make us happy, make fans happy, make our families happy, and make everybody happy.
Yeah.
And in some situations, you lose.
Yeah.
It's life. It's,
yeah.
You win or lose, and from lose, you can only learn from the mistakes and go to the next match.
Just quickly on that, because I don't want to take this up too much with a debate, but I think it's maybe because Borjovka are seen as like a regional sort of flag carrier for football. This is a very strange example, but the one example that I would use is Hansa Rostock in Germany. Mm-hmm. So like a team that was historically won a couple of things back in the day was seen as the flag bearing team of Northeast Germany, mm-hmm. and are now in the third, fourth tier, bouncing about there in German football. And their fans are often very, you know, this is a big club with big history. And I think our supporters have the same thing. But also it's because we are, with the greatest of respect to Lishen, this is a one club city.
Yeah.
You have maybe per every 300, 200, 300,000 people in Prague, you have a top two division team. You just have the one here and now Lishen. So mm-hmm.
It's a club in a big city that should be doing better.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, yeah.
Yeah, like you wouldn't say that Bohemka is like the representation of Prague in football, but you'd more say that Zbrojovka is like the representation of Brno in football.
Yeah. Right? It's like any big previously successful one club town, Leeds, for example. Newcastle.
Yeah.
You know, it's just one city where it all revolves around. There is nowhere else to put your support, there's nowhere else to put your, you know, passion, anger, joy, whatever. So,
and then moving on from Blansko timeline, then you were there back with Zbrojovka full time. I think you spent quite a lot of time in Bečka and reserves.
Yeah, the next season after Blansko, I was the third option goalkeeper, mm-hmm. and I was playing for Juniorka, mm-hmm. the second team. Mm-hmm. And after that season, I moved on to Kroměříž.
Yes, to Hanácká Slavia Kroměříž. 12 full appearances.
Is there no sort of is it FK has
it's or FK Hanácká Slavia Kroměříž?
Yes,
I believe. Yes.
Footballový klub Hanácká Slavia Kroměříž. Possibly the longest name
SK.
In football.
SK.
Is it SK?
Sportovní klub though. Then, mm-hmm.
but still, Sportovny Klub Hanácká Slavia Kroměříž. That's a long name.
12 appearances for Kroměříž and a remarkable 7 clean sheets. Yeah,
nice.
That's a nice percentage.
It was pretty long streak, clean sheet streak.
Yeah.
I think the streak without conceded goal was about 556 minutes or something like that.
I think it
pretty
was
fucking good.
I think it might be longer because we've talked about this streak on the podcast before. Because like almost immediately after returning from Kroměříž, you went to the first team.
Yeah.
Zbrojovka, and then I think it was the fourth game that you conceded a goal.
Three games or four or something like that.
Yeah. It's a long time. Did you feel a big difference between playing MSFL football in Blansko and in Kroměříž, or was it what was that like as a player?
Boys, it was pretty familiar. Mm-hmm. There weren't some like stars or something like that.
Sure.
Everybody just was honest, mm-hmm. and patient with my football. I don't know how to say that. It's every time it's a little bit difficult when you come some new club because mm-hmm. you don't know the players, coach staff is different, so it's a little bit different. And sometimes I'm sorry to say that.
That's all right.
It takes some time to learn things from the club.
Mm-hmm.
So, but back to your question, the facilities like the stadium, regeneration.
Stadium's so cool. I really like Kroměříž Stadium.
On the third league, it was very decent,
mm-hmm.
I think it was on the same level like better. I don't the exact team in second league, but.
Well, I mean, there are many grounds.
The second part of the table, yeah, have the same.
The shit part of the table.
Similar facilities like Hrvatska Slavia.
Yeah, I mean, it like as a place to go, it is way better than, for example, Sokolov, or, you know, Vlašim, or somewhere like that. Like, these are horrible. Well, not horrible, but they're kind of nothing. Grounds. It's like, you know, one stand and three pieces of rope around the edge, you know, like they're not great facilities. And Kromiadice is kind of cool. They have that one nice stand, they have one end, you know, just the kind of clubhouse side.
And the opposite side, it's training pitch, and the left side is artificial grass on the winter race. And the next of the artificial grass is another natural grass. So they have two training pitches and one for the winter or for the Jauf teams.
Yeah, I mean, that's more than a lot of teams in the second and the first league have. Yeah. Like, that's really good, really good facilities there.
As a quick side question, because now you've played, you know, quite a lot in the MSFL. And now you've really broken into Zbrojovka, and you've been our number one keeper, and you will be our number one keeper, I think, for a while. Is there any stadium that you've played in that you like have a favourite, or you really, you know, enjoy playing at?
Atmosphere or the?
It doesn't matter. Yeah,
if you like playing there, if you enjoy
from
the
second and for the league.
Anywhere you've played.
I was on the bench when in the season when Zbrojovka got relegated.
Mm-hmm. Great season. Wonderful time.
I was on the bench in Eden on Slavia. The atmosphere was just perfect. Stadium wasn't full. It wasn't full. 11,000.
Never full. Yeah, yeah. Never full. Yeah. Representation.
And ultras called Tribuna Sever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They have chants every for wall 90 minutes.
Mm-hmm. We do you remember
and,
David?
And some of these were pretty catchy because I was sitting on the bench. And they were singing Miňo stok, Miňo stok.
You see that?
It was very catchy because I was sitting and Miňo stok. I was singing with them.
Yeah. While we're losing. Yeah.
At least that is a decent example of Czech chant creativity, which there is not enough of. One of my constant bugbears about Czech football, or something that irritates me about Czech football, is that wherever you go, all the songs are basically the same.
Yeah.
And it really annoys me because in England and Scotland, there's a lot of creativity and a lot of like different, you know, songs based on like, you know, recent pop songs and everything. And this at least is something different. Like that, you know, it's not great, but it's something different. So, yeah.
It was some chant from the song. I don't know the name, but it's on fire, but I don't know the name of the football.
Oh, Will Griggs on fire, yeah. Right. Yeah.
Now, I am trying to introduce... Do you know that... You know where this is going, don't you?
I do.
Do you know Kings of Leon? The band? They had a very famous song. Oh, this sex is on fire.
Yeah. I have been
trying to start... Whenever Tom de Rusek scores, oh, Rusek is on fire. But nobody wants it. Nobody
it's
wants
pretty
it
brave of you to admit that on a podcast, David. No,
come on.
Just Victor Blansko.
Yeah.
Ralph and the guys. Yeah. They have the chant on every player.
Yeah, I'm sure they do.
And Will Griggs on fire.
Yeah.
And there was teammate Petr Gromský, and they were singing Gromský on some fire. Yeah. And it was catchy too.
Yeah.
I mean, we've
you see,
had
we've tried. We've
don't you wish your Milan was Lutonski? Terrible.
Yeah.
I prefer Ashiru. You're Ashiru one.
Yeah. Ashiru, baby, making that pass, making that pass. Yeah. Or of course Alvin Fortes.
Wow, wow.
That's, yeah. And these are these have not been accepted.
No.
For you, it's
in English.
Yeah.
For you, it's more. It's easier to create something on the foreign players or Czech players?
Oh,
because Czech
point.
Names
yeah.
is a little bit difficult.
Czech the problem is that Czech players, the structuring of the name is quite similar. So it's a lot easier when you've got more vowels, more A's and E's to play with.
Anything works, you know, with that one set Czech sort of chant. So, you know, you have Jirka Floder,
Onza Sedlak,
Milan Lutonski.
Yeah,
you know,
like everything is kind of,
it's all set.
So,
it's very regulated.
So
it's a lot.
Czech language. Štěpanovský, tak. Štěpanovský, Peter, because it's so long.
Yeah.
So
I guess
it's
so then it just
opposite. And
it's...
Or just he's a Slovak. I don't know. Like,
yeah. It's. I think the difference is that
stupid haircut.
I think the big difference is that I find that chants and songs in British football is often a lot more ironic, and it's just sort of very joking, whereas it's very serious here. Like if you think of like
no
Paroka
jokes,
and all the guys,
it's
Borovanci. Everything is about, you know, sort of to the pitch, very, you know, says to try and inspire the teams. Whereas in British
England,
football,
there's a lot of piss taking.
It'll just be about some guy's hair or something like that, you know, or his wife.
But the song from the Liverpool fan, we got Salah.
Oh, that's good, actually. I like that. The Salah
actually,
one is good.
My one of my favourites was, you know, John Joe Shelby?
Yeah.
Plays
yeah.
for Newcastle. He's
got, he's bald.
Yeah, he's got alopecia, I think. Like, a big. So, lots...
The Harry Potter one.
Yes, it is the Harry Potter one. So when he was warming up, I think it was Liverpool fans were just shouting, Harry Potter, Harry Potter, John Joe Shelby's going to kill you. Which was quite funny. Harry Potter, he's coming for you.
Yeah, that's it, Harry Potter, he's coming for you. Because he looks like Lord Voldemort, right? Yeah. Or something, yeah. So it's that sort of level, I guess.
Anyway, we digress. Do you want to take a quick break? We can do a quick beer of the podcast and then go on to...
We can do a beer of the podcast.
Yeah,
I have
a
couple
break.
More questions for later on about the current Zbrojovka team and things like that.
I've got some very silly quick questions to go. Ooh. So we'll do beer of the podcast and then we'll come back and do some more of this kind of stuff.
And now it's time for the beer of the podcast.
Indeed it is, beer of the very much podcast. And we've got...
a gift beer.
We've got a gift
from our friends at the Blansko Klobasa who left us two bottles last time. We did one of them.
Yeah.
And now we're doing the second.
And
so
this one has survived for over a week in my fridge without being drunk, which is successful.
Shout out Ralph, Craggy and Wingy.
Yeah.
Oh, hello, guys.
And so we're drinking Forkloster.
Forkloster!
Forkloster! Oh, I was going for dun 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 Forkloster.
Yeah, I was going for the B-52's Rock Lobster.
Good.
So,
yeah, fine. Forkloster, cluster of the fork. Right. So yes, this is. You reckon it's from?
I think it's from when they went to Tishnov, isn't it?
I don't know, but on the back it says it's from the possibly mythical town of Předklasteří, which I'm not sure if that exists, but
Předklasteří.
That's right.
Don't like it. Dun, 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 dun. Rock the Casbah. Should we get on drinking it? What is it?
Were you trying to do that to Rock the Casbah?
Yeah, it was.
Fred Glass.
I pick Clastergino. Like it. Yeah. Dun, dun,
dun, dun. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah. Right. Great. It's just great radio, isn't it?
It really is. Just, that, yeah. That is stunning.
This is why we have over 100 listeners. it's a Disitka.
It is a Disitka. It's 3.8%. It's just a sort of golden lagery type thing.
If anyone from the club complains, Jirka has a very small amount to sample.
Yeah.
Because he's going to be playing in Slovensko on Saturday, I think.
Exactly.
So he is a pro. So,
Nesta,
ciao.
So, smells not much like a lot, to be honest.
Tastes a lot better than it smells, because it tastes of something and it smells of nothing.
Yeah, smells of nothing, tastes of... It feels like it tastes stronger than it is.
Biscuity.
You reckon?
I think.
Biscuity. What do you think? Opinions? Some dead air there, that's good.
It's just a lager, really. It's nice.
What do you think? Nice or...? He's taking his time to consider this.
He's doing this like a real pro. It's all swirling it around his mouth.
It's nice. It's nice. I probably drink better, but I drink worse. So
yeah. It's perfectly fine.
Do you have a favorite?
Better average.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite beer?
Policzka.
Good shout.
That's my favorite beer. Yeah. That's mad.
Good shout. It's perfectly fine. I mean, and also it was free, which makes a beer slightly better.
Yeah,
if you don't have to pay for it, the beer tastes, you know, all that slightly better. That was our, what was it called again?
Forklaster.
I don't know why I have to say it like that. It's just, it's, yeah.
Give you the beer some rating, like... Well,
have been some terrible ones.
There have been. The Cornish Steam Lager, which tasted of feet.
Yeah, that was Cornish Steam Lager was the absolute bottom of the bottom.
Zero.
That was above. So for a zero to the nice fruit sour, your one.
Yeah, the Zichovets fruit sour.
That's lovely.
Was really delicious, but the Cornish Steam Lager, man.
That was fault.
It's like if you made beer out of the things you find in people's socks. That's pretty much what it smelled and tasted like.
The things you find in people's socks are feet.
Yeah, but all the guns and all, like, and all stuff. That was really horrible.
Mm.
Anyway, but we hope you're enjoying your beer if you're having one with this listener with that in mind. We're going to move on to a few kind of quick fire questions. We've also got hot or not. Yeah. Coming up,
and then we'll round out with a little bit talking about the current Zborovka team.
Yep. Okay. So awesome. We'll be back after this bit of musical nonsense.
We're back,
aren't we? Yes. Hello, listener. Glad you're still with us. A couple of quickfire questions. We had wine number 59 earlier. Who would you say are your mates in the squad? Who are your friends in the squad? Who do you get on with the best?
We are all friends in the squad.
That's such a press conference answer.
But my best, I would say... Kuba Přichystal, David Krška, a Honza Sedlák.
Okay, good.
Quick supplement to that. See, when you have to stay over in like a hotel or something for with the team, do you have like a guy you always share your room with?
It's pretty. It's
Are you trying to say Zborovka can't afford hotels?
In my case, it's pretty changing.
Uh-huh.
One time, I was before Dukla.
Uh-huh.
I was with Adam Pousek,
uh-huh.
And next away game, I asked him if he go with me again, and he said to me, we lost the match, so I must change.
Oh, wow.
That goes on to my next question. Are there any players that have superstitions? Any players that do the same thing before each game or won't do something because they think it's bad luck or good luck or something like this?
In my view, I think every player has some kind of stuff.
Okay, do you have some kind of stuff?
I have many.
Here we go.
But it's like my preparation ritual mm-hmm. or something like that. A day before the game, I wash my gloves, I prepare my tapes, and I prepare my
shin pads.
So it's like some program before match.
Mm-hmm.
I'm used to make this from my 15.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah.
So it's the same. Not. It's the same. You just clear your mind and just make your mind. Concentrate on match.
Yeah, it's not superstition, it's just routine,
yeah.
Isn't it, really?
Yeah, some routine.
Okay.
But some routine or superstition has every player,
mm-hmm.
in my view.
Yeah. Uh-huh. All right. Who is in charge? Classic football journalist question. Who is in charge of the music in the dressing room or on the bus? Who's the boss of the music?
DJ Pavel Iceman.
He hasn't got the mobile. Somebody is connected to.
Oh, like Bluetooth to the speaker.
Yeah, yeah, uh-huh. to the speaker. And Pavel Iceman. Tell him.
Yeah.
Which song play to play?
Right. Okay. So he doesn't,
for example,
have
today,
phone, but he's the boss of the music.
Today, say play Gala Freed from Desire.
Oh Christ!
Nice.
Okay.
That's good.
It's kind of old school, mm-hmm. old school, and it's changing on the last matches of the first part of the season.
Mm-hmm.
Before matches was DJ Ondřej Vaněk,
mm-hmm.
uh-huh.
and after trainings is changing, but David Krška is usually the DJ,
mm-hmm.
and when we have gym session. DJ is our fitness coach.
Oh, okay.
So it's changing.
Yeah. Who's the
best on training?
This is my next question.
Uh-huh. The best DJ?
Well, but who's the best music taste and who is the worst music taste? And actually, what do you like is important.
The older players will say young players has the worst music taste.
Mm.
And young players will say older players have. But I think when some younger players play some new Czech rap.
Oh yeah.
is from the old players is only two words. Stop it.
Yeah.
Stop it. It's terrible.
That's amazing.
Put it some normal.
what kind of stuff do you listen to then? What kind of music are you into?
Czech rap.
Czech rap, but no everybody. Mm-hmm. Only just few interpreters,
mm-hmm.
and by the song.
Yeah.
And in general, it's rap and hip hop.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly American hip hop.
All right.
What's your favorite rap? I like rap and hip hop. Right. So who are you listening to right now then? In like US stuff.
I like Migos.
Mm-hmm.
New album for the Post Malone is good. And some R&B artists like Chris Brown.
So like more sort of like modern stuff.
Yeah. Like Travis Scott.
Oh, Travis Scott's really good actually. Yeah.
Drake.
Nice. One last question. So when Sam and I, or any other fans, when we travel around the country watching the team, we have to travel, you know, long ways by train or bus or whatever. But you know, we have beer to pass the time. What's your like bus routine? Does it go into like social groups, or do you have to, like, you know, what's your kind of 6 hour journey routine? What do you normally do?
Every player has is like pervasive. You know, when you sit on the back five seat. We just
like at school, the cool kids at the back.
It's just all the players are sitting in the back, and when you are younger, you are more in front.
It's so like school, isn't it? It's awesome. Just like school. That's incredible.
But routine, I'm just listen to music, and we have the small TVs on the the seats, nice. So some films and. Read some stuff on the internet. Do you know Bez Frází?
I do know.
It's like it's Czech website, and there are interviews with the sportsmen, but it's not like normal questions. How about match and so on. It's by own words of the sportsmen.
Yeah, we have the Players Tribune is the English version, where it's like essays, like kind of long articles written by the sportsmen.
It's like on a formal interview, they say, "I didn't play well last match," and this Bez Frází, he said that I played shit last match. It's different kind of language.
The Players Tribune, the English version, is very good because it's like long form pieces but written by the athletes. I read a really nice one by Francesco Totti, I think, where he was writing a letter to himself at the age of 18 and saying, "Don't do this. Don't do this." Like, you know, very kind of honest and talking about his relationship with his wife and his relationship with the city of Rome. And it was really, really good. I like this kind of stuff.
Last one.
Yeah.
Very quickly. I have to put this in. I think for speaking for both of us, what is your opinion on football matches starting at 10:15 a.m.?
Yes.
I hate it because it's so early for me.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
So early for you? You've got the bus in the hotel, mate. So we have to get up at 5 a.m.
But the from the Chrudim, we travel to matches on the day of the match.
I was imagining, like, is it like
because
Prague teams, Varnsdorf, obviously Usti.
Yeah.
If it's early, Sokolov. Those are the ones that you stay over, but everything else is on the day, right?
Yeah. It was a routine when we drive away, we sleep on the hotel. But in the beginning of season, when we are playing bad, it changed because we were sleeping before Dukla on the hotel. We didn't play good. Before Chines, we didn't play good, so something to change to play good. And I think it was match on in Chrudim. We
really great result, really great performance. Yeah.
But we have meeting, I think, 5:30, and we drive on the match on the day of the.
Because that's really unusual. That's not the way I would expect it to go. You would think if you had a hotel overnight, you would be fresher and play better the next morning. So that's a strange, that's a very unusual.
Yeah, it was because some players, we have breakfast before when we are in the hotel, we have breakfast before match, and some players doesn't feel good after that breakfast, you know,
even. Yeah.
Just they had a headache and their stomach was hurting. Yeah. So coaching staff decided to make a change.
Mm-hmm.
And every time from the regime, when we have match away, we go on the match on the day. We go on the match on the day of the match. No, one day.
Yeah.
Alright.
Before.
Well, if we're getting those results like we are right now, then I hope it continues.
Yeah, I'm afraid
it's so early.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it is, but you know,
at least we're drinking beer at 7 AM on the train. Yeah, so like eating pasta and fucking energy drinks, you know?
Exactly. If it continues with these results, I'm afraid you will have to continue to wake up at 4 AM to
that's the big incentive. Happens. You don't want to play 10:15 AM. Just get up to the first league.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. No more 10-15.
That's true. That's true.
All right. We're going to go for some hot or nots next. Are we not?
Hot or nots.
Hot or not without you?
Da, I want to know.
How would I do hot or not without you?
Me stay on the show.
It's good. It's hot or not, ladies and gentlemen. Hot or not. Let's get some hot or nots.
Okay. This is the part of the show where we tell you something is hot.
Something that's not hot.
From the world of football.
That's
mostly
right.
From football.
Mine are very, very stupid and very, very short.
Oh, fantastic.
So I will kick you off.
Give us a hot.
I will kick you off with a hot. My hot is Slovak international midfielder Ondrej Duda moving from Hertha Berlin to Norwich City.
Uh-huh.
Purely because if we don't hear some ridiculous who's that Slovak number 10
Duda,
then I'm going to be very disappointed. I want to hear that song.
Good move for Norwich. They need all the help they can get right
and
now.
And also, he hasn't been playing in Berlin under Jürgen Klinsmann, who apparently does not have his correct coaching badges and might have to leave as coach of Hertha Berlin, which is always funny. Sam, do you have a hot?
I do have a hot, David, and it is the premier football competition of the world, which is, of course, come Saturday, Scottish Cup, baby!
The
Scottish Cup fourth round, which is very important, I think, for British football right now, because the FA Cup, the English FA have decided to take everything good about the FA Cup and throw it out. So now you have stupid VAR stuff. Nobody wants to go. Everyone plays third team or whatever. Not in Scotland, son. Not in Scotland. Everyone's going to be playing a full strength team. This is the fourth round of the Scottish Cup, so it's different. It's like our version of the third round.
Is this because no squads are big enough to put a third team out?
Shut up, David. And I've got a couple of things about the Scottish Cup, just to give you an idea of what's going to happen. So we're playing Dumbarton, Aberdeen, who are, I think, fourth or fifth in Scottish League One, so we should beat them. For the Czech interest, we have Václav Hladký's St Mirren side. We'll be playing Broxburn Athletic, who are the lowest ranked team in the tournament right now. They are from the East of Scotland League Premier Division, which, if you think about it as a ladder, is like tier 6 of the Scottish football pyramid.
All right.
And very quickly, Arbroath are playing Falkirk, which sounds very innocent in itself, but both clubs entered for the first time in season 1878-79.
Hmm.
But remarkably, this will be their first ever meeting in the competition.
Wow. Okay. That's a good stat. Bit of statage there.
Scottish Cup, if you want real football, honest football, Scotsky football, yedame.
Okay.
Jirka, do you have a hot?
Do you have a hot?
My hot is Liverpool winning streak in the Premier League.
Good hot. Yeah. Good hot. It's unbelievable. It's
just machine.
Yeah.
Machine. Because I think nobody can stop them from winning the Premier League. Because
this season, form, yeah, for sure.
Their form is incredible.
It is very strange how every year recently people have said that something can't be done. Like last year, was it the season before, Manchester City got something like 97 points and people said nobody will ever beat that. Like, yeah. 97 points, that's crazy. Next year, Liverpool pushing them, Manchester City only just won. And that nobody will ever beat that. This year, Liverpool, even better again. It's
crazy.
Yeah,
crazy
really
stuff.
Crazy.
Yeah, I think they are 16 points clear from the Leicester.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that, yeah. The Leicester just got taken over by City at the weekend, right? So,
because City won and Leicester lost to Southampton.
And City beat Villa 6-1, was it?
Liverpool are 14 points ahead now, yeah. I think. But still.
That's crazy. That's Scottish League expensive stuff.
When they won, it's not by just the part of luck or something like that. You just play good and they just dominating the whole game.
Mm-hmm.
Just 80% position on the ball. It's crazy.
It's got to
if nobody gets injured during the second part of the season, I think it's done.
Yeah.
Because I don't expect Leicester or City will
be a collapse, wouldn't it, if they didn't win?
It would be a spectacular collapse.
Yeah.
It's almost got to that point where you remember in the late 90s when Manchester United was steamrolling everybody, where whenever a team played Manchester United, even before they went out onto the pitch, in their head they had already lost.
Yeah.
And it's sort of getting like that with Liverpool now, where you just expect Liverpool to win.
It's gone back to the Bill Shankly, this is Anfield sign coming in. You know, where that time when Shankly was managing Liverpool, they were so unstoppable and people were just terrified to go and play there.
Yeah.
And
there's another question. If they be like Arsenal 2002, 2003.
Invincible. I mean, it's tough because I honestly just never thought, I don't think that something like that would ever happen again.
Yeah.
It could.
There is also a very tedious argument going on a lot of football forums right now about which would be the better side, Arsenal 2002 or Liverpool 2008? Who cares?
They're both amazing.
Like, you can't judge them against each other.
Historical periods of football.
Yeah.
Because the game is played totally different.
Yeah.
You're not going to compare, this side really reminds me of the 1930s England side back in the 1930s where you used to play 2-2-5 formations or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Would this Liverpool side beat Preston North End's title-winning 1923 side?
Where would Ferenc Puskás be in the Liverpool squad right now? Bullshit.
Yeah,
nonsense.
Who cares? All right, I've got a knot for
good.
You. My knot is goalkeepers who don't wear the number one. I'm kidding. My knot is Adam Lallana.
Oh, God, right.
Purely because since he's got back to full fitness, you see him on the pitch and you read about him in newspapers.
Yeah.
And whenever I see his name, I just have to go, whoop, Adam Lallana. And it really annoys me that I have to make that noise whenever I see his name. Roop, Adam Lallana.
My favourite member of the Teletubbies.
Lallana. See also, Phil Bardsley, who for some reason I have to say his name like that, and Roger Johnson! Come out wherever you are, in a Fawlty Towers Mother Johnson sort of way. So that's why also... Everybody's doing the Grant Hanley stance in the style of the half man, half biscuit song.
Yeah, Len Ganley, right?
Len Ganley stance. So that's why I don't like Adam Lallana, and that's why he's my knot this week.
Good.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Sam.
Mine is English football fans on Twitter, David.
Right.
mostly. Right.
Yeah, go on.
So, okay. Everything about this Twitter app. So, I've got some visual aids to help my...
this listener will do you very little. He has visual... He's got printouts.
There's a guy called Luke Walsh on Twitter. He is a big Liverpool supporter. Nice link there, Yuka. And, right. So, basically, he sent a tweet out which says... decided to order a World Champions patch and put it on my shirt. Ellipsis. It didn't go well. Gutted. So he bought a FIFA, you know, club champion to put on his Liverpool shirt. And he ironed it on and he fucked it, basically. So this is him putting it on his shirt. And the other picture is that there's a big burn on the front of his shirt now because he couldn't put it on. He couldn't iron properly. So you see this here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's... Yeah, okay. I mean, it's not a catastrophe, but it doesn't look great.
Yes. So immediately I was sort of like, you're a grown man and you're adding patches to a football shirt every time your team wins something. This is a weird thing that only happens for English and big and, like, you know, sort of big guys football. He's also got a Virgil van Dijk Virgil on the back.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, this is not just about this. This is about everything to do with English fans on Twitter. So he gets 100 replies or 300 replies. The vast majority of them are the sort of Twitter users that have footballers as their profile picture.
Mm-hmm.
Almost all of them saying Virgil should have said virgin instead, lol.
Yeah.
And the other half suggesting that he's a paedophile. Nonce behaviour, check his hard drive. That sort of counts for banter for English football now. Someone fucks up and they're a nonce or something, or they're a virgin. It's not funny. Also, the World Club Championship is shit, and the only people that care about it are the people who win it. It's not a Champions League. It's not a Europa League.
Actually, no. Brazilian clubs care about it.
I don't care. So it's just like, yeah. Also, the worst thing about this is the guy gets ratioed. The guy gets numbers. Like, lots of people are retweeting it going, look at how this guy has destroyed his, you know, you can see it there, you know, destroyed his Liverpool strip or whatever. He then uses that infamy or going viral as a way to try and contact Virgil van Dijk and begging him to sign his shirt. So it's like, oh, if Virgil sees this, will he sign this shirt? Because it's, you know, it's a funny thing. Please, everyone, like, at Virgil van Dijk so he sees this. Absolute wee guy, small man behaviour. And it's emblematic of idiot English football fans that think their whole life is based about Manchester City and Liverpool. Get fucked. That's my knot, David.
It's a good knot, Sam.
As usual, Sam's knot comes from the internet. I just hate English football fans online.
That's a really vitriolic knot.
Oh, they're all just pricks, man. Yuka!
My knot?
Yeah.
Let's have a knot.
My knot is VAR decisions in Europe leagues.
Thank you.
Weirdly, we haven't had this yet as a knot because we all assumed that everybody hated it. But yeah, you're actually, I think, the first person to bring VAR up in this.
As a professional footballer, this is an interesting question as well, that's your take on VAR. Do you think it would ever be adopted in Czech football? And would it have the reaction that you have if it was?
It might work, but it must be same matter on every club.
Yeah. No,
when you play some big club against small club, in the match is same situation. For example, handball in the penalty area.
Yeah.
Referee must give the penalty to a big club and the weaker club or smaller club. You know, because VAR decisions in the last few games, which I saw,
mm-hmm.
when some bigger club have the controversial some situation, just VAR checked it, it was decision which were good for the big club.
Mm-hmm.
And when appear the same situation for the smaller club, mm-hmm. they just The situation was the same, but the decision was different. Mm-hmm. You know, on one side it was penalty, but on the second side it was regular and go on.
Yeah, I find that it's very strange, as you say, if it's the same competition and they're using VAR in some games and some games not, because some grounds have...
Yeah.
Like, for example, in the FA Cup, why would you have it at big stadiums that can do it? And if you're Coventry versus Bristol Rovers, for example, there is no VAR. There is no consistency. There is no consistency in how it's applied. There is no consistency into how the law is actually worked. Mm-hmm. There is no consistency as to what the people in the box are looking at.
The whole Bring thing. VAR to Varnsdorf.
VAR-nsdorf.
yes.
VAR-nsdorf.
As a quick aside as well, it's also a really interesting thing about VAR for goalkeepers as well. One of the things I remember most about when VAR sort of started and they used the Women's World Cup as a trial was when... this terrible match at the Scotland against Argentina, where Scotland were 3-0 up and then drew 3-3 with Argentina and got eliminated.
Scotland.
Well, they VAR'd the penalty. The penalty was given, and then it was saved by the Scottish goalkeeper, and they VAR'd the save because the keeper, she wasn't entirely on her line, you know?
Yeah.
I think
it was referee from the Czech Republic.
I think you're thinking of a different game
game.
Yeah, I think it was a different game.
It was
something like that. But also, as a goalkeeper, it's really important. Like when there's a penalty, you have to sort of get off your line to close the angle, right? So surely it's going to be a real disadvantage for VAR for goalkeepers, right?
Yeah, I agree because the rule, I think, is new from this season,
mm-hmm.
I think. But when you watch the penalty, I think every penalty must be repeated.
Yeah.
Because every time goalkeeper just move before the kick, because you can't jump to the post only from the one place.
Oh.
You must be... In the
you need
in
the momentum in your legs as well.
Or the other thing is, if your VAR offside decision is now 1 millimeter or one elbow or one armpit, if there's a penalty and people are running in, the attacking team is running in, where does that body cross the line? You know, when the person takes the penalty, the other team comes in, is it going to be a millimetre of elbow of the attacking team into the penalty area, or...
It's no advantage for the striker, you know?
Which is mad. Is mad, because that encroaching into the penalty area is not measured the same as offside, but it's still the same thing.
Yeah.
It's crossing a line. So the entire rule is complete nonsense.
Yeah. I think some offside was... I think it was Zaha. Uh-huh. And his haircut was on offside.
whose arse was it? Was somebody's arse or dick or something like that was offside? But
I think... Was it Firmino's armpit was offside?
Yeah, I remember.
And possibly Jack Grealish's arse was offside. But
just as a keeper thing, as a goalkeeper thing as well, can you imagine Liverpool losing the greatest Champions League final of all time just because it's Jerzy Dudek, and Jerzy Dudek's moving off his line trying to do the Bruce Grobbelaar stuff? Crazy.
All right.
I guess we should probably wrap this up and have a very quick section before we...
Yeah, we'll have a very, very quick section before we go out, and... by the way, just so you know, we are playing out with Jirka's choice of music. It's something.
It is something.
we're back. That coughing noise you heard was Mr. Florida briefly choking on his drink, but it's fine.
Yeah,
he'll be back in time for Danube Wednesdays.
This is absolutely. And it would be a shame to not finish the podcast. And also, you know, Jirka has been here for a couple of hours now, and you know we've probably kept him long enough. So it would be good to talk a little bit about the Zborovka team right now, what we have coming up, and what Jerzy thinks about the rest of the season as well. I think one of the defining moments of this football season so far for a Zborovka perspective was the victory that we had against Pardubice in the game before the break. And I don't think I've seen as much passion from the whole team. Everyone high-fiving each other. You were going crazy. I think you went into the dressing room and came back out again with the supporters.
Yeah.
It seemed like there was this real belief with the team that, yeah, we can, you know, beat everyone in this league. We can go up to the Fortuna Liga. Is that what the team's feeling right now? Does everyone have this confidence that we're going to, you know, start in March again and really, you know, win this league?
Before match in Pardubice, we knew it is one of the most important matches in the season, because when we lost, Pardubice will have 7 points clear, and in the second part of the of the season will be very difficult to catch them. So we were happy for us as a team. We did that, and we were also happy for the fans, because they traveled in huge amount, and we were happy for the fans and for the coach staff, because we were during the first part we were under pressure, because before the season we say that we want to be promoted after the season from the first play. We don't want to go to the playoff relegation.
Not game. Another Przybram game. Yeah. No.
So we were under pressure, and then the second part of autumn stage was better than the first, and Pardubice was very important for the second stage, like I said.
Yeah.
But I think now we are more confident, because we know we have the strong players in the squad, and we believe in ourselves, we can do that.
Yeah.
We can be promoted to the first league.
That save you made towards the very end of the Pardubice game.
Fantastic from, save. Yeah.
From where we were at the far end, it was kind of a nothing ball, but then suddenly, woof! There was a huge hand, and over it went. That must have made you incredibly.
Thank you.
Happy, like, but what a save that was, man! Like, it was sus.
It was very very difficult shot, because I didn't see it pretty well, and Kubovský still touched it. So it a little bit changed the way of the of the shoot, but I move this right way and jump, but there's some how can I say it, in Czech třešnička na dortu, it's like I before the match in Pardubice, 2 weeks before, I dislocated my finger. And when I saved the shot with the right hand, and on the hand I have the dislocated finger.
Wow.
So I was after match, I said, wow, it was the my injured finger, and I say that. So I, after match, I was so happy because I helped to team to to score the three points.
I'm obliged to say this again contractually, but like hashtag sports journalist or whatever, but how much do you think the changes in performance and the belief has to do with having Mahalek as the new coach? Like, do you notice a big difference in how things are as a team and as a group with this new manager?
I think team, like a squad, it's exactly the same like before, but Coach Mahalek wants a different tactical play. Trener Schuster wanted something different from Trener Mahalek. So this was the biggest change for us. Changed the our tactical play in the game and just play simply. Don't know so many passes in the middle part of the pitch. Just straight to opposite side of the pitch and score the goals.
Yeah, from what we've noticed in the stands, even when Mahalek's first home game in charge came in, it looked far more. There was far more sort of pressing up the pitch. Everything was far more. And there was a lot more energy. There fitness. Was much more, energy, fitness, and, a lot more kind of just wanting to take control of the game rather than wait for the game to come to you. Would that be fair? Is that...
Yeah, I agree, because in some stages of the season, we just... didn't believe in ourselves like we used to in the previous season on the second stage. You know, the winning streak on the spring was incredible, but first match in the Vlašim, we just after first half we might be 3-0 up, but it was 1-1, and we just lost the. In my view, we just lost the confidence. And we get back it pretty hard, because we just knew we must be promoted on the end of the season.
Yeah.
But the results was were bad, and. We are in the same circle, training, match. We didn't go well, play well, and the same, train, and we just didn't know how to change the rhythm and again playing well, because it's just when just I think after some match. I think Ústí 2-2 draw at home. We just fans were unsatisfied with our game, and they were shouting on us, and we were unhappy from this, because we were now and the past we are training pretty hard, very hard, every week, and we just. Make them happy, but sometimes, like I said before, sometimes you have the bad day and don't play good.
That was not our fault, by the way, that Ústí game. Like, you were closer to the action than I was, for sure, but that Ústí, that is never, ever a penalty. Like, you know that, because this is Shirley's son, Bassey. Bassey falls down for Ústí. He falls over his feet, and you're right. Beside. It's not a penalty ever, is it? Like,
and Juraj Kotula was sent off.
Nonsense. I'm still angry about that.
There were so many penalties against us.
Yes,
we were talking about this.
There was also
so many penalties given against us.
And then we were trying to shore up the defence, and then Schmidt came in, and then Schmidt's first game, I think he conceded a penalty as well. Like
Chrudim, Ústí, Hradec.
Yeah, is it Hradec? There was more. I can't remember right now.
Vlašim,
yeah. That wasn't your fault, though.
One thing I will make a quick point about in the game against Blanska, I very much enjoyed how angry Pavel Drexler is. He's incredibly vocal. Like, even from the side, he's really immediately incredibly commanding and very he's just constantly shouting at people. I love that. It's good stuff.
And it very, very helps to do teammates.
I'm sure, yeah.
So the new guys are all settling in well, because there's Chema.
They feel safe because they feel there are some person in the defense who are strong and confident, and he isn't afraid to shouting at other teammates.
Yeah, because it seemed like, you know, there was already... You know, Icy, who's doing that, and then Drexler in the centre, and this is good to have, because there again, from our view, it seemed that the only person who was taking any responsibility in the back line was Iceman, who was, you know, because he's very kind of loud and he's very vocal, and having somebody like Drexler in, who is just telling people where to go, even after one game, is a very good sign.
It's a different thing, because when a couple of seasons ago we didn't have like defenders organising the defence as much in relation to the goalkeeper. Like a couple of years ago, the whole defensive line was basically just being organised by Melikare. Mm-hmm. Like, he was the one that was doing the shouting, the commanding and stuff. And you obviously do that as well, but it seems that you have a lot more confidence in, you know, people like, you know, Iceman to organise with your cooperation. And
yeah,
you know,
there is a much better relationship between you and your back four than there was
like Melikarek and Kianskas, and his, for example.
Yeah, Kianskas, and which looked a bit of a mess, frankly. You love Kianskas, though.
Kianskas, man. Like, I think it's really funny, the Kianskas thing. I've said this on this broadcast before, but there was a during the relegation year, I remember that we were... David, unfortunately, wasn't there, but we were 3-0 down to Mladá Boleslav in about... after, like, 17 minutes. And Kianskas...
Yeah, important match because... Boleslav was down off the table.
Boleslav were really struggling. And Kianskas was responsible, in my view, for every single goal conceded. And then a few weeks later, he played against England at Wembley as part of the Lithuania
Harry
team.
Kane. Good luck.
And to be honest, and Lithuania had quite a good
game.
They
were okay.
They were all right.
It's like watching Kianskas at Wembley versus... Who are you?
Yeah,
it's really bad. Like, yeah. I shouldn't say that, but like, it was quite weird and funny. Like,
just to round it out as well, because what we've got coming ahead as well is that, like you said, on Saturday or Friday or Saturday, we're the team are off to Dunajská Streda,
Wednesdays,
for our to defend our three times
defend
the
Tipsport
Winterliga, which is a map. Well, something I care quite a lot about.
Deeply
don't,
about.
I really don't. But we're playing Dunajská Streda, Nitra, Skalica, and then we are off to Malta to then play Dunajská Streda again and Banik Ostrava.
I'm going
to
say, we are not off to Malta. Yeah. We're staying here.
Can you confirm, are we playing Banik Ostrava in Malta just so nobody gets hurt? Like the fans. Like, so we had to go as far away from the Czech Republic as possible, so no one's going to be
there. It will be first time in history which fans will be really safe.
The first time will be zero arrests by the police. And so we have those winter sport and stuff, and then after that, and the Malta stuff, we go back and we're then playing Trenčín, Podbrezova from Slovakia, Vyškov, Pardubice, and then we're back into Sokolov. What are you expecting from the Tipsport League and these friendly games? Is it just going to be about getting fitness up? I guess you'll be maybe playing, like, you think you'll be playing more than 50% of matches, because then also Pavel Holoska will need time. What do you think about what's going to be over the next month or so?
These matches are mostly for coaches.
Mm-hmm.
They see how players works in a match and watch their performances. And the main goal, is don't get injured in these matches. Yeah. In these matches, because you know it's different on the artificial grass.
That's true.
You just make some wrong move and you just spin the ankle. You know, it's many injuries in this stage of the season. But every player gets their chance to show their skills in the matches, and on in the end of this part. In the pause, in the friendly matches, they're just crystallizing some starting 11, and last 3 or 2 matches, usually playing the starting 11, which will probably start on the first round of the league.
Mm-hmm. It's got to be some quite nice competition for you as well, because these games. I think some games you'll be playing maybe 45 minutes and some games you might be playing some 90s or not. But Pavel's really going to be trying to knock on the door to get some starts in the first team, right?
Yeah.
So do you have that sort of friendly competitiveness between each other?
Yeah, friendly competitiveness. And me and him trying to push hard to show who is the best goalkeeper in the club, and this friendly competition helps. But I think both of us, because it motivates you to show better skills and better performances to the coach. After the friendly matches, coach decided to count on you, and you will play the first league match.
Mm-hmm. All right, so. Yeah. Well, right, good stuff,
What's left to say is good luck as well for these friendly games, and obviously for the rest of the season.
Thank you.
We hope, and we will say thanks to Jiří Floda for taking the time to speak with us today.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for the invitation.
And we hope. To get a confirmation before we finish that you'll come back and do a podcast with us.
End of the season, maybe.
At the end of the season, perhaps.
Okay. End of the season, maybe. Okay.
I will come.
It's been a lot of fun.
All right, good stuff. We are going to play out with Jirka's choice of track. It's Ceske Pondor, and I have heard a bit of these guys. They're like the Czech Weird Al, I guess. So that's going to happen. If you don't know where we are, you can follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Sproilovcast on both. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. We're on SoundCloud, iTunes, Spotify, and Audio Boom, and other places where you get your audio. So that will be it from us.
From a very special Sproilovcast special, where we've done 2 weeks in a row of red hot content
Live
show, and we have a real footballer. So it's been it's been really good. I hope you've had a good time.
Great experience.
Okay, so we'll see you all next time.
Bye.
Bye. Král. Byl jsem raketák, prýma raketák.
a že to zatopit, vytopit, zatáhnout ryb. Strobáč, vata, páče a koně, vinným čem to povodí do něj. Sierra, preso, tak nějak to bylo. Zahraj mi bíčis, dám ti třeba kilo. Patka, digi, uvést celec, alko, palko, to bylo jezdec.
I když mám svojí tonču, sám ve vzpomínkách často lovím. Ten věcí pívá kejchnu a chci spát.
Get down.